Hakdama de Korbanos. There's a very famous machlokas that you have to know, the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, which is a machlokas that we all ask ourselves very often today. What exactly is the purpose of Korbanos? Why is there a mitzvah of Korbanos in the Torah? It seems like such a foreign thing to us, especially now that we're so removed from the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Why did Hashem command us in Korbanos? So there's a famous sheet of the Rambam, what the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, quoted by the Ramban here in our Parsha, that the Rambam says that there were different Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the Rambam, Maimonides, in the Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam writes that there were different Ovdei Avodah Zarah in those times, and essentially Korbanos were a means that Hashem gave the people to have a positive outlet to the desire to be makriv a korban. So instead of doing what the goyim doing, being makriv a korban to a avodah zarah, that's what they were all doing, animal sacrifice to a avodah zarah. So Hashem decided that we'll take this animal sacrifice that everybody seems to feel the urge to do, and we'll channel that into a avodah zarah. Hashem, that should give us a mitzvah korbanos shkayach.
He saw in the future that's what happens.
I mean, at that time, at the time of Kabbalah Satorah, there was an animal sacrifice that was rampant for avodah zarah. There's a lot of problems with this. There's a lot of questions to ask on this sheet of the Rambam. Yeah.
Why would he let us channel this type of avodah zarah? Why would he say you have to overcome it?
It's a good question. Fair.
But he does this with everything.
Okay, that's why I don't want to dwell on that question so much. It's a question
you can't channel all your time in this course.
Correct.
So if the Korbanos was instead of avodah zarah, and davening instead of korbanos, davening instead of avodah zarah.
So my focus in Gemara exactly what the story of davening is. Is it connected to korbanos or avos tiknum? But okay, either way.
Either way, davening takes place with avodah zarah, so therefore it shouldn't be bad.
Well, we're going to talk about this. Let's flesh out the sheet before we can start the discussions. So it sounds like from the Rambam. The Rambam says it beferish mor nevuchim, that the purpose of the korbanos is to take that desire to do avodah zarah and to channel into avodah Hashem, and now we can bring makriv korbanos to Hashem. And the Ramban says that it's totally ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. How could you even say such a thing? First of all, that might lead one to think that, you know, so nowadays when there's no longer yitzhar hara avodah zarah, like the Gemara puts out in Sanhedrin, the Chazal davened, then they were mevatel the yitzhar hara for avodah zarah. No, just for avodah zarah. Then they're women and it didn't work out. But avodah zarah, that's what ended up happening. Because I remember that just the yitzhar hara for avodah zarah. So then it seems that the whole parsha, all these parshas of korbanos in the Torah seem to be superfluous. What do we need them for? There's no yitzhar hara for avodah zarah anyway. So according to the Ramban says you have a real problem.
Yeah, also,
sorry?
Ramban was also mefarsh in the Mishnah Torah that in the third base minutes we're going to have korbanos.
Oh, so okay, we'll have to see. Very good. So people might say, though, based on this sheet of the Rambam, that you don't need to have korbanos anymore in the next Beis HaMikdash. And there were some who actually tried to make such a claim. And furthermore, the Ramban says, I believe, I didn't actually look at this Ramban this year, but I think the Ramban also asks another kasha. He says, before the times of avodah zarah, there were also korbanos. Adam Rishon was makriv korbanos. Cain and Hevel were makriv korbanos. This is all before the times that avodah zarah even existed. So how could you say that korbanos are all about avodah zarah? It's ridiculous, says the Ramban. So Ramban says a different yisod. The Ramban says that the reason for korbanos is that a person should view himself as a korban. If you did a chait, we did a chait to Hashem, so now we take the part of the tshuva process is to take a korban and to sacrifice it, to slaughter it to Hashem. The Ramban says a person should have in mind, when you're slaughtering the animal, the shechita, it's like it's being done on me. And the zrikas adam should be like it's my dam, and you're taking the animal up to mizbeach, it should be like I'm taking myself up to mizbeach. Oh, okay, very good, very good. And beyond that, the Ramban says that there's also all sorts of inyanim in the korbanos that are, you know, Kabbalistic ideas, that are deep Kabbalistic ideas, and deeper things that are involved in korbanos that obviously have nothing to do with the avodah zarah. And that's the Ramban's shita. So It's just important to realize, this is pointed out by the Meshech Chachma, the first Meshech Chachma in Parsha. We're not going to go into all Meshech Chachma now, but this is famously pointed out that the last Rambam in Hilchos Me'ilim, the first Rambam we talked about is the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, but the Rambam in Hilchos Me'ilim, the very last Rambam, says the following. Me'ilim? Hilchos Me'ilim. The Rambam in Hilchos Me'ilim, Periches, Halacha Ches, is the very last Rambam in Hilchos Me'ilim. The Rambam says, Roy la'adam lizbonin b'mishpatei HaTorah Kedoshah. It's proper that a person should examine the laws of the Torah, Veleda sof inyonam kifri kocha, and he should understand them to the best of his ability. V'davar shelo yimtzo lotam, if there's some law in the Torah that a person does not find a reason for, v'lo yeda lo ila, he doesn't understand it. Ayehi kal be'enav, he shouldn't just brush it off. He shouldn't look at it lightly. V'lo yaharos lalos Hashem pen yifrotz bo, v'lo tehei machshavto bo ki machshavto b'shar dibri achol. I mean, if a person learns some theory in science and he feels he's able to disprove that theory, so he simply disregards it. So says the Rambam, it should not be like that when it comes to Talmud Torah. If there's something in the Torah that we don't understand, it's not simply to be disregarded. And then he has a whole discussion here about Me'ilah. And the Rambam says the following. The Rambam says that there is a concept in the Torah called a chok. A chok is something that we cannot understand and that we don't understand. And the Rambam says, v'kol ha-korbanos Kulon Michlal Hachukimi. All of Korbanos fall into this category of a chok.
No.
Of a chok. And Amru Chachamim Shabishmil Avodas HaKorbanos HaOlam Omeid. Chazal tell us that the whole world stands up for the sake of the Avod of the Korbanos. Shabasiyas Hachukim Vamishpatim Zochim HaYashorim L'chai Olam Haba. By being Mekayim, by keeping the Chukim and the Mishpatim that we have in the Torah, so we are Zocha to get into Olam Haba. V'higdima Torah tzivui al hachukim shenemar shmartem es chukosai ves mishpatai asher yasosam ha'adam v'chai b'hem. So the Rambam says that there's a concept in the Torah of a chok. A chok is something we can't understand, and the example that the Rambam gives of a chok, which would seem to be that this is the classic chok, korbanos. Kol ha-korbanos, all the korbanos, kulon michlal hachukim heim. They're all included in this concept of chok. So it sounds like the Rambam himself seems to agree that we can't necessarily fully capture the essence of a korban. So what's he talking about in the Mor Nevuchim? Why is it that in the Mor Nevuchim the Rambam says that a korban is all about, you know, re-channeling the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah?
Is this that book, it was in the context of those books, no?
Oh, so the Rambam a lot of times does these kind of things in Mor Nevuchim. That's what Mor Nevuchim is all about. So I saw once a sefer from Moshe Shapiro, he's not exactly addressing this idea. The Rambam is not addressing this. The sefer I saw from Rosh Shapiro, it's called Re'e Emuna. It's not addressing exactly this idea, but the idea, this Rambam, but the idea is very relevant over here. Again, just a quick recap. We're discussing the reason that Hashem commanded us in the mitzvahs of Korbanos. So we said there's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rambam. The Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, the reason for the Korban is in order to re-channel the Yetzer Hara that we have to do Avodah Zarah, that we can now channel that Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah towards Kedusha, towards Avodah Hashem, and Hashem says, bring a Korban. But on the other hand, the Rambam says in the Yad HaChazakah, at the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, the Rambam says that the Korbanos are a chok. Korbanos are the quintessential chok. Chok is something that we cannot fully understand. We don't understand the reason for this. And the Rambam says the primary example of that is a korban. So what's the story over here? On the one hand, the Rambam says korbanos are a chok. On the other hand, the Rambam says the reason for a korban is to re-channel, refocus our energies that we had for Avodah Zarah into Avodah Hashem. So Moshe Shapira, in his Sefer Re'e Emuna, he explains at one point the whole concept of Ta'amei HaMitzvos. I might have mentioned this in the show before, I don't remember. What does it mean, Ta'amei HaMitzvos? The reasons for a mitzvah. Who, like the Beis Halevi says, the most important Beis Halevi al-Torah that we referenced yesterday. Basically, ultimately, like the Pasuk says by Paraduma, Zos Chukas HaTorah, that the whole Torah is a chuk. Our approach to the whole Torah, all the Tariq mitzvahs, we can never delve into the deepest secrets of what's behind every single mitzvah and what Hashem's divine intention was when He gave us the mitzvah. We understand as much as we can, but ultimately there's probably a level of understanding that we cannot reach. And that's true for the entire Torah. But, says Rav Moshe Shapira, that the concept of a ta'am ha-mitzvah, the reason we give reasons for the mitzvahs, why do I bother giving a reason? So the reason for the mitzvah, and this is the beauty of Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew we talk about ta'amei ha-mitzvos. Ta'amei ha-mitzvos means what? Reasons for mitzvahs. But what's a ta'am? A taste. The ta'am is a taste. The reason that we talk about a ta'am of the mitzvah is in order to give the mitzvah a ta'am. We talk about the reasons for the mitzvahs in order that we should have a relationship, in order that we should connect. When we do a mitzvah, we should understand a little bit what's going on behind the mitzvah, that we should connect to it. When we give a reason for a mitzvah, we're not saying this is the be-all and end-all. This is the, quote-unquote, capital T-H-E. This is the reason for the mitzvah. But we're giving a way that we are able to connect. We're giving the flavor to the mitzvah, a way for us to connect to the mitzvah. We don't want the mitzvahs to be like eating dirt. A person that eats dirt doesn't taste like anything. It's a bad taste. The chas v'shalom, mitzvahs are not meant to be that way. The way that we give a ta'am, the way that we give a good taste to the mitzvah is by understanding a little bit what's the ta'am, what's the reason, what's the ideas behind the mitzvah. That's not to say that the reason that we have is the be-all and end-all, that it's the only reason. But it is one. We're offering one possible reason, or one level, one layer of understanding in the mitzvah. So it could very well be, like the Rambam says, in Mor Nebuchim, it could be that there was one point in time, one time in history, where it made a lot of sense to relate to korbanos on a level of, since we can't do avodah zarah, we have a different outlet for avodah zarah, and we have korbanos. It could be at one point in the history of the world, that was a logical way to relate to korbanos. But obviously we have no yitzhar hara nowadays anymore for avodah zarah, like we said. And if that's true, that's no longer a relevant way for us to relate to korbanos. So how do we relate to them? So we could talk about the Ramban like we did. And that's ultimately, that all is found here in the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Me'ilah. The Rambam himself says that korbanos are a chok. Korbanos are a chok. Oh. Yes, the answer is that the Rambam is giving in Mor Nebuchim a ta'am, a reason that might have been relevant at one point in time, that it was a way that we could connect and give a flavor to the mitzvah. But ultimately, the Rambam himself says in the Yad HaChazakah that korbanos are a chok, and if that reason is no longer relevant, obviously, Chas V'Shalom, the Rambam would never say that that's a reason not to continue to be makif korbanos. Very good. So, just in terms of that, Bizman HaZeh, we have no korbanos, as we all know. The Gemara in Tainus says, so nowadays that we have no korbanos, Bizman She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, what do we do? We say the Seder HaKorbanos, which is what we say every day. We have the Parsha Satamid, we have the Koman and the Ketores. We say the Seder of Korbanos, and the Gemara says, by saying the Seder of Korbanos, Hashem treats us as if we were makir to the Korbanos, and He gives us mechila on all of our averus. That's the way the Gemara says in Tainus. So, we were all zochah this week to go to Rav Sinai. So Rav Sinai, in the Sefer in the Parsha, it's Bar Sinai in Parsha Vayikra. So he points out that it's more than just what we say. When we say korbanos every day, it's more than just, you know, oh, we can't be makrif korbanos, so we'll say some things about korbanos. It's that when you learn Torah that has to do with a certain mitzvah, the limud haTorah is like a part and parcel of the kiyumah mitzvah. What's this proof? He says like this. He says, we all know, the Gemara tells us, that Moshe Rabbeinu made a takana. Moshe Rabbeinu instituted that 30 days before the holiday, you have to already start learning about that holiday. 30 days before Pesach, start learning about Pesach. That's on Purim. It's coming up very soon. 30 days before Sukkot, you start learning about Sukkot. Every holiday, 30 days before, you have to learn. But the Gemara says that's not all. Moshe Rabbeinu also instituted that you have to learn Hilchos Pesach b'Pesach. Hilchos Chag b'Chag. You have to learn about Pesach on Pesach also. You have to learn about Sukkot on Sukkot also. You have to learn the halachos of the holiday in advance, and you have to learn them also on the holiday itself. So what's the idea over here? If I learn them already in advance, I know all the halachas, why do I have to learn on the holiday itself? So Rav Sinai wanted to say that the learning of a halacha, the learning of the mitzvah, learning about the mitzvah before I do it, or as I do it, that Talmud Torah is part of the Kiyumah Mitzvah. And it's a beautiful idea. Explained also the following. There's a minhag that we all have to say, Baruch Shulchan Aruch. We say B'mem Adlikin every Friday night. What's B'mem Adlikin? It's all the halachas of halachas Neres Shabbos. So by the time I say B'mem Adlikin on Friday night, my candles are already lit. If I didn't light candles, it's too late. Shabbos has already begun. I can't light candles anymore. Why do I say B'mei Madlikin on Friday night and learn about Hilchos Hadlakas Neiros when the Hadlakas Neiros is done? There's nothing I can do anymore. These halakas cannot be put into practice right now. And the idea, he says, that when you learn the Torah of a mitzvah, so that's part of the kiyum. Like the pasuk says, Ki ner mitzvah, the Torah or. The ner is the lamp that you put the oil into and you put the wick into. The mitzvah is a lamp, And have you light the lamp? You light the lamp with the Torah. Torah or. When you do a mitzvah, and you do the mitzvah together with learning the Torah that goes along together with that mitzvah, so it's like not only do you have the lamp, not only do you have the ner mitzvah, but you also have the Torah or. You can light the lamp and they come together. So said Rav Sinai that nowadays when we see the Parsha of Korbanos, we see the Parshas Korbanos, it's not just we're saying Parshios. It's not just we're saying things like to remember what used to be once upon a time. It's that that part of the Kiyum HaMitzvah of Korbanos, we still have. We still have a little bit of connection, a little bit of shaychus to the mitzvah of Korbanos. By saying the Parshios, it's part of the Kiyum HaMitzvah. And that's why the Gemara Tanya says, when a person says the Seder HaKorbanos, when he says the Parshios of Korbanos every day, he can have mechila on all of his averus. Good. Question, yeah.
If that's so, then why is Korbanos often skipped by people and not...
I don't know, you have to ask those people.
It's not as much emphasis on that as the rest of them.
I'll tell you like this. There's a Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos. In the first paragraph of Brachos, it sounds like this is the Rav's view. I heard it from a Shechter. And it's brought down as far, I've seen it before. Rabbeinu Yonah sounds like in Brachos that he could actually hold that to say the precious Korbanos every day is a mitzvah d'oraisa. And I think that the Rav actually held that way, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that I've heard from Rav Shechter that therefore, if a person has a choice between either saying Korbanos in the morning or saying Pesukei de Zimra, because you're limited in time, so Korbanos takes precedence because of this Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, most people, Rabbi David does not agree with that. I heard it from himself. Most people do not say that, but it's a diuk in Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachos. I thought it was a nice diuk.
Yeah,
the Korbanos means the Tamid, the Torahs, and Ezra Makomas.
That's right.
Oh. Yeah.
How is Korban brought every day? Did every single person bring a Korban or everyone was blood?
There's a Korban Tzibur. The Korban Tzibur.
Yeah, how come he didn't say
on behalf of it.
How come the Dara didn't say Korban?
So when you got up, you didn't get up to stop in the shower, you got up to just go and watch the korban being brought?
No, not everybody goes. You can still use. I think they would still daven shachris, meaning at least. I think they would still daven shachris. I think so. Meaning once there was a time in history when actually Knesset Agdola instituted the tefillahs, when they were masaking the matbeya of tefillah.
The first,
the Gemara says in Brachos that there's a machlokas, our tefillah is a kineged korbanos, there's an avos tiknum. Avram daven shachris, Yitzchak daven mincha, Yaakov daven mariv. That's the Sugi Mesachas Brachos in the fourth paragraph. It's a Shemalinger.
Wasn't the
actual
Knesset Agdola, that was during which period?
At the end of the Nevi'im. So that would be the first Beis Hamikdash.
So they instituted davening right away?
I'm not sure exactly when
it came out. After the second Beis Hamikdash, I'm sure that's when.
Could be, I'm not sure.
That's when they instituted because it was moved to Yavne, everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly what point in history.
Yeah.
So when the third Beis Hamikdash comes along, there's going to be no more
I imagine that there still will be, but I don't know.
You know when we're going to
but I don't know. I'm not sure. Oh, okay. Vayikra, let's get into the Pesukim now. If you look in, open up to Parshas Vayikra. So we're not going to talk, there's a lot to say about the little Aleph. We're not going to talk about it. So we'll start with Pasuk Beis. Pasuk is like this. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'amarta alehem. This is Hashem, tells Moshe Rabbeinu. Speak to b'nei Yisrael and tell them, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban l'Hashem. When a man from amongst you wants to bring a sacrifice to Hashem, min ha-behema, min ha-bakar, u-min ha-tzon, takrivus korban chen. You should bring it from behema, bakar, and tzon. So, immediately, Rashi is also bothered by this question. If you look in the Pasuk, it seems a little bit strange. The Pasuk says, Adam ki yakriv mikem, lashon yachid. If a man, singular, wants to sacrifice, yakriv is singular, a korban Hashem. So, mina behema, mina bakar, mina tzon, takrivu, plural, es korban chem. So, the Pasuk starts off with lashon yachid, and it ends off with lashon rabin. And the question is, why is that so? So, the Kli Yakar explains a very beautiful idea. He says that the Pasuk is coming to tell us how to give a korban in the most ideal way. He says, if we look back to the first korbanos that were ever brought, we have Adam, and then we have Kain and Hevel. So what happened with Kain and Hevel? Who brought the first korban? Kain or Hevel? Who brought first?
Hevel.
Who brought first? Cain. Cain brought first the korban. Cain brought a korban, which was not such a nice korban. Then Hevel saw him, and then Hevel brought a very beautiful korban, which Hashem accepted. And Hashem was not happy with Cain's korban, so Cain got jealous and killed Hevel. So the Kli Yakar says each one of them, Cain and Hevel, each had a chisaron, something that was lacking in the korban that they brought. Cain's korban, although he brought first, it was self-motivated, but his korban he brought from such some produce that was not so good. He brought bad goods, so to speak, as a korban to Hashem, on the one hand. So that was the pagam, that was the problem with Cain's korban. On the other hand, you had Hevel, who brought a beautiful korban to Hashem, but the lacking in his korban was the fact that he didn't think of it himself. He was, so to speak, I mean, not exactly this, but just with Saber da Ozen, he was playing a little bit keeping up with the Joneses, meaning keep up with the neighbors. Cain brought a korban. Ah, got to be like Cain, what a good idea. I'll follow Cain and I'll bring a korban. But he didn't have the inspiration on his own to bring a korban. So that was the pagam, that was the lacking a little bit in the korban that Hevel brought. So says the Kli Yakar, the Pasuk here is coming to teach us how to fix, that we should fix these two issues. The Pasuk says, V'amarta lahem adam ki yakriv mikem korban Hashem, singular. That when you singular bring a korban, which means that we bring a korban, we should bring it as if we're singular. We should bring a korban as if there's nobody else in the world. When I bring a korban to Hashem, so I want to get close to Hashem with my korban, that's the lashon of korban, means karov, that it brings me close to Hashem. So that should be something that I don't do that to keep up with the Joneses. I don't want to get close to Hashem because I see this guy is dressing a certain way or I see that guy is acting a certain way, so I'll also put on a show. I want to get close to Hashem because I want to get close, because I want it. It's something that I really want. That's who I am. I want to get close. So, mikhe adam ki akriv, when you, singular, want to do it, not because of anything else that's going around you, not because other people are doing, because I realize that this is MS. This is what I should really be doing. This is something that I want for myself. Oh, that's the way that you should approach Hashem for a korban. So when you bring that korban, so then min ha behema min habakar min atzon takrivu es korbanchem, plural. So the Kli Yakar says it in one way. It's not 100% clear to me how he addresses the second issue, but takrivu es korbanchem means that korbanchem is plural. There are many korbanos. I can bring many different things as a korban, but what am I going to pick? I'm going to pick the best thing. Once I'm talking about fixing Cain's pagan, that Cain brought a substandard korban, so I have to look at all my many options that I have in front of me and bring the best one. Oh.
Well, then you could say that we spread the korban part is that even though there are a million other people bringing korbanos, the yachid still counts.
Also, okay, very nice. Also, very nice.
And you should bring one to make yourself and everyone else in mind.
No, meaning adam ki yakriv, that you should bring it as if there's nobody else around. Meaning what motivates you to bring it is not the fact that other people are bringing korbanos. I bring a korban because I want to bring it. It's something that I'm inspired from me. That doesn't necessarily come from the outside. And takrivu is korban chem, you should bring in plural, which means that you have many different options. I can bring many different things as a korban. What do? I want to take the best thing. When I'm choosing what to bring as my korban, I look at a very wide selection of things that I can bring, and I have to choose the best one.
Don't you sound like a shell leader at that
time? What? Okay, there's many pshatas. I'm saying one pshat. Oh. The Kli Yakar then says another beautiful chat. Beautiful. This is beautiful. Beautiful Torah over here. This is the Kli Yakar. Same Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar says a very nice thing. He says like this. The Pasuk says, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban Hashem. When a person brings from himself, mikem, from yourselves, you bring from you a korban Hashem. And then he says, then the Pasuk says, mina behema, mina bakar, mina tzon, you bring from the animals, takrivu es korban chem. So the Kli Yakar explains that we're talking about two different people over here. You can have an adam ki yakriv mikem. When a person gives of himself, he's makriv of himself. He says, how so? Ruach nishbara. Ruach nishbara. Hashem wants a person, especially when he's doing tshuva, and a lot of times you bring korbanos because we're doing tshuva, that a person is broken inside because of the mistake that he made, because of the avera that he did. He's broken. That's a korban from yourself. When a person himself feels broken because of the wrong thing that he did, and he wants to fix it, and he wants to make it better, and he wants to turn a new leaf, so that feeling, that's when you bring you're being makriv, so to speak. You're sacrificing yourself because of that broken feeling that you have inside. So that's yakriv mikem. Adam ki yakriv mikem, when you bring the korban from yourself, when you essentially are the korban. So what type of korban is that? Then the pasuk says, that's a korban lashem. That korban, so to speak, goes directly to Hashem. However, if a person is bringing more of an external korban, if he's bringing a korban min ha-behema, min ha-bakar, min ha-tzon, he's bringing a korban from his animals, what type of korban is that? It doesn't say korban Lashem. He says takrivu, then you'll bring, which korban will you bring? Es korban chen. Then you're bringing your own korban. Meaning, if the experience to you of bringing your korban it's kind of like, I'm just going through the motions. It's an external thing. Here's my animal, take it to the mizbeach, put it up there. So then, says the Kli Yakar, that's not necessarily, it's not the same level. It's not korban Lashem. The Torah refers to that as korban chem, your korban. Oh. Very good. Wow.
It's getting so late. Different somewhat.
Again, if a person is bringing a korban of himself, meaning if the korban comes from who he is, he's broken inside because of the thing that he did wrong, then the pasuk refers to that. Adam ki yakrav mikem. If you bring a korban from yourself, then it's a korban lashem. But if you're bringing mina behema, mina bakar, mina tzon, if you're bringing an animal as a korban, so then that's takrivu as korban chem. That's a korban that's for you. That's not referred to as a korban lashem. That's not Hashem's korban. That's a korban for yourself. You're bringing it, doing the outside motions, but the lashem, the korban that's for Hashem, is a korban that comes from the inside. Oh. Okay. Then it points out, I saw a very nice Chassam Sofer, just quickly. I want to move on. There's a few very geschmack words that we have to get to. The Chassam Sofer says, take a look at the next pasuk. We have a pasuk, our pasuk starts out in singular. Adam ki, it ends off in plural, like we just said, takrivos korban chem. And then the very next pasuk gimel begins, im ola korbano min habakar zachar tamim yakrivenu. If his korban, his, again, we're back into singular now. Pasuk Beis ends in plural, takrivu is korban chem, and Pasuk Gimel begins in singular, im ola korban. No, if his korban is a korban ola, min habakar zachar tamim yakrivenu. So what type of korban is a korban ola? So Chazal say korban ola comes to atone for hirhurei avira. Hirhurei avira. A korban ola atones for thoughts that a person has to do an avira. He didn't actually do anything. He just has a thought to do an avira. So the korban ola is a kapara for that bad thought. So it says the Chassam Sofer, why is it that this pasuk is in singular when the previous pasuk ended off in plural? So he said we have a concept that we're familiar with, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. We have an accountability for each other. But that accountability, that mutual responsibility that we have for one another, that's limited to actions, to the realm of deeds. Meaning, if one person does an avera, if one person does a chait, so that has an adverse effect on all of Bnei Yisrael. So in the first pasuk, where we're talking about bringing korbanos for an avera, which was an action, says the Chassam Sofer, so then we talk about it in plural, because the kapara that a person achieves by bringing a korban for an avera that he did in action, so that's a kapara not only for himself, that serves as a kapara for all of Bnei Yisrael. Because since they all had a sense of liability, they had an accountability for his avera, so when he brings a korban, there's a kapara for everybody also. However, if a person does an avera in his thought, in his mind, he has hirhurei avera, so there's no arvus, there's no kol yisrael arevim zeh lazeh for averas that people do in their mind. For thoughts of avera, there's only personal accountability. And that's when we talk about the korban ola, which is mechaper for hirhurei avera, so the Torah talks about it in singular, because that's a kapara just for him personally. Nobody else needs a kapara for those hirhurei avera. Oh. Very good. Let's skip over now to Perek Hay. Perek Hay. Psukim Beis and Gimel. Now Perek Hay. Oh, sorry, no. Before that. I apologize. Perek Beis. Perek Beis plus a Gedal. Perek Beis plus a Gedal. Oh. Beautiful. What? Gedal. 14. Perek Beis plus a Gedal, the Torah says like this. Beautiful. This is from Moshe Feinstein, the Drash Moshe. Moshe says the following. This pasuk, beautiful. You heard this already? The pasuk says, V'im takriv minchas bikurim. I think we could open the window. Is anybody else hot? Thank you so much. Very nice. That's good, very good. Thank you. The pasuk says, "V'im takriv minchas bikurim Lashem." V'im takriv minchas bikurim Lashem. And if you bring the mincha bikurim, the bikurim offering to Hashem, what's bikurim?
First fruit.
Very good. So, okay. Obviously, we know that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says ki can have four different meanings in Chumash, and Rashi points out over here that im in this pasuk does not refer to an option. It's not an option. Bikurim is a mitzvah that's a chiyuv. But still, Rav Moshe is bothered. Why does the Torah formulate this mitzvah of bringing bikurim in a way that makes it sound as if it were optional? If, im, even though here it doesn't mean if, but it's a word that could be interpreted as if, the im takriv minchas bikurim lashem. And if you decide to bring bikurim, it's not optional. There's no, I'll bring bikurim, I won't bring bikurim. No, if you have bikurim to bring, you're chayiv. This is not an option at all. So Rav Moshe wants to know, why did the Torah formulate in such a way that sounds like it could be something that's optional? Why? So why? So says Rav Moshe, when a person does mitzvos, so even though we know gadol mitzvah va'osa misha ino mitzvah va'osa, but there's certain mitzvos that a person should do because he wants to do them. And you have to do them, you have to do them, but there should be an attitude of this is something that I want to do. It sets it up in a way that makes it seem optional even though it's obligatory because I should do it in a way that I want to do it. If it were optional, I would still do it. Just like we saw from Moshe Shapiro also earlier in the year, all mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveru, Moshe mentioned this here also, all mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveru are like this. A person has to do mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveru, but part of the kiyum mitzvah, when we do a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveru, is to do it in a way that I want to do it. Do it in a nice way. Like Moshe here quotes the Bartanur in Pirkei Avos. He says that if a person gives tzedakah, upanav kevushos la'aretz, a person gives tzedakah and he's looking down on the ground and he's like unhappy with the tzedakah that he's giving and he expresses that sentiment to the person who he's giving tzedakah to. So the Mishnah said, the Bartanura says in Pirkei Avos that it's as if he didn't give the tzedakah at all. It's as if he didn't get that mitzvah. Now obviously he'll get some degree of schar for the mitzvah, but the full schar for the mitzvah of giving tzedakah he won't get because he does it in an unhappy way. The ikar is that a person should do a mitzvah and he should do it in a way that he wants to do. So says Rav Moshe, when it comes to this mitzvah bikurim, so it's such a very difficult mitzvah for a person to do. If a person works his land and now he has the first fruits, so why should he have to take the first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash? He should give the first fruits to the Kohen. Why? For the first fruits are like the most geschmack fruits to get. I take the first fruit off my tree, I want to eat the first fruit. Let me take the second fruits and give it to the Kohen. The Kohen doesn't care if he gets the first fruit or the second fruit. For me, the first fruit for my field are a big deal. The Kohen, if he gets the first fruit from my field or the second fruit from my field, he doesn't care. He gets fruit. So why does the Torah say I have to give the first fruit? Why the first? And the idea is that Hashem's, and this is says Rav Moshe, is the entire idea behind Korbanos. The purpose of Korbanos is not to give to Hashem. Hashem doesn't need anything from us. Hashem doesn't need a Korban. We're not feeding him. Chas v'shalom. Hashem doesn't need our Korbanos. What's the point of Korbanos? That I should take those things which are precious to me and I should say I'm willing to do the Ratzon Hashem even with those things that are the most precious to me. And I'll take the first fruit, even though those first fruit... When it comes to Hashem, when it comes to the Kohen, Hashem doesn't care what kind of korban... If I give a really big, beautiful animal as a korban, or I give a skinny, sick, ugly animal as a korban, it doesn't affect Hashem differently one way or the other. Hashem is not affected by a beautiful animal. Hashem is not affected by an ugly animal. So why do I have to give a beautiful animal? Hashem is not affected by the first fruit or the second fruit. The Kohen is not affected by the first fruit or the second fruit. So why do I have to give a beautiful animal? Why do I have to give the first fruit as bikurim? So Moshe explains, because Korbanos is telling us, the message of Korbanos is, I should take those things which are most precious to me, the most expensive things, and I should be willing to do to take those and use them for the Ratzon Hashem. If Hashem says to bring a Korban, I bring the best Korban, because I'm showing that that is where my priorities lie. Oh.
Was that through the
Tzadik? What?
Was that through the Tzadik?
No, the absolute, it's like two words in one. Two words in one. And one word is, Moshe is saying that, you should view it as if it's optional and show that this is what I want to do. You should do it as if you want to do it. And then you're doing it as if you want to do it, and dafka in this way with the best thing because you're showing that you want to do the Ratzon Hashem even with the most precious things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you don't care if it's a big, beautiful cow or a sick cow,
yeah.
does he care if you bring a cow at all? Or is that also for us?
Cool. Does he care if you bring a cow at all? Or is that also for us? Well, I mean, the Torah says you have to do the mitzvah in a certain way. So we do it in that way, but it's for our own benefit. It's not for Hashem's benefit.
The way we do it is
correct.
Nice
that's
cow.
For our own benefit. It's not for Hashem's benefit.
But the cow is for Hashem?
No, the cow is not for Hashem.
So why don't you bring a cow at all?
Because Hashem said that's what we have to do.
For us.
And the positive effect of that korban is felt by us. Hashem doesn't change because we bring the korban.
But God doesn't carry the korban.
I mean, he cares. What I mean by they say,
he's telling us to do what's best for us.
Obviously, meaning
we don't do it. He's not missing out. We're
correct.
Out.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
No, but there's some things that we're chayav to do because
what are doing, but in fact it's...
Okay, back to it, yeah? Two more words and we'll call it a night. We're almost running out of time, but the last word is my favorite one. But we have to say one more word first. Perikei Pasuk Beis, the Torah says, Pasuk Beis, and Gimel. The Pasuk says, O nefesh asher tiga b'chol davar tamei. If you have somebody who touches something tamei, O benivlos chaya tamei, O benivlos behima tamei, O benivlos sheretz tamei, he becomes tamei, v'ne'elam imenu, v'hu tamei v'ashem, and he doesn't realize it, ne'elam imenu. That's Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Gimel again, the Torah says, O ki yiga betumas adam l'chol tumaso asher yitma ba, v'ne'elam imenu again, v'hu yada v'ashem. So Ne'elam twice, the Torah says. The Gemara Shavuos asks, why do we have these two Ne'elams? What? If a person becomes Tamei and he doesn't realize, Ne'elam Imenu, it's hidden from him. He doesn't realize, and then he did an Aveir. What Aveir did he do? He went into the Beis HaMikdash when he was Tamei, and that's Aser. So the Gemara asks in Shavuos, why is it that we have two Ne'elams in these two Pesukim? What are the two Ne'elams coming to teach us? So the Gemara says, one Ne'elam is coming to teach me L'chayev al he'elam tuma, and one ne'elam is coming to teach me chayev al he'elam mikdash. What does that mean? If a person goes into the base of mikdash and he's tamei, so there's two possible ways that something he could be missing a bit of information. There's two possible things that he might not realize. It could be he goes into the base of mikdash tamei and he doesn't realize that he's tamei. So one pasuk, one ne'elam is to tell me that it's also it's that you're chayev a korban if you go into the base of mikdash. Even if you don't realize that you were tamei.
How do you know to give a korban then?
Okay, then you realize afterwards. Meaning, but when I was in the Beis HaMikdash, I didn't realize that I was tamei. The other ne'elam is coming to teach me that I'm chayv to bring a korban, even if I knew that I was tamei, but I didn't realize that I went into the Beis HaMikdash.
And you not realize
it? Two ne'elams. One to tell me on he'elam tuma. I didn't realize that I was tamei, and I stole to bring a korban. The second ne'elam teaches me that even if I didn't realize, I know it was Tameh, but I didn't realize it was in the Beis HaMikdash, I also have to bring a korban. Ask Shervel Yashiv in a Sefer Divrei Agada. I understand a person might not realize that he's Tameh, but a person doesn't realize that he's in the Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't realize that he's in the Beis HaMikdash. All the nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash, all the grandeur of the Beis HaMikdash.
Could be that he doesn't realize. Can't go into the Beis HaMikdash.
It could be, but that's not the Rebbe Lashon says it. He says, a person doesn't realize, how can a person not know that he's in the face of Mikdash? Ludicrous! Yeah!
But this he takes for granted.
Oh, very good, excellent. Says Rav Yashiv, Hergel, when a person becomes accustomed to something, so you could go, if you go to this Mikdash every day, the base of Mikdash. And we have it today on a much smaller scale. A person goes to the Kotel for the first time in his life. A person goes to the Kotel the first time in the year. Ah, it's such a powerful experience. The Kotel, all the history, all the Kedusha. I'm at the Kotel. And you go to the Kotel a bunch of times, it already turns into Chas V'Shalom. It turns into like a scene already at the Kotel. Chas V'Shalom. There's a hergel. A person get accustomed to something. And says Rav Yashim, even in the holiest of places, this Koach HaHergel can be so powerful that he goes into the Beis HaMikdash and he forgot. I'm Tamei. Whoops. I know I'm Tamei. But I didn't realize even that I went into the Beis HaMikdash. I'm just doing my routine and here I am. And I didn't even realize I ended up here. I am in the Beis HaMikdash. And this is what the Gemara says. He quotes Gemara in Sanhedrin, and this is something that we can all relate to. It's so clear. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin the following. L'ma Talmud Chacham Dome Lifnei Am Ha'aretz. What is the Talmud Chacham like to an Am Ha'aretz? An Am Ha'aretz, for the first time, he meets a powering and awesome Talmud Chacham. What does he think of him? So the Gemara says, Dome L'kiton Shel Zahav. The Am Ha'aretz is taken by this Talmud Chacham. He's like a golden kli. Wow, what a Talmud Chacham, golden kli. Says the Gemara, Siper Heimenu. Dome L'kiton Shel Kesef. They have a little conversation. Gets a little bit more comfortable. Ah, a ki. A silver kli. Now that Am Ha'aretz relates to Talmud Chacham as a silver kli. Nehene mimenu. If he derives benefit from the Talmud Chacham, dome lekiton shel cheres. Ah, an earthenware kli. Another kli. Kevan shenishbar shuv ein lo takana. It breaks, and then there's nothing to do. Meaning, the Am Ha'aretz becomes so enamored in the beginning by the Talmud Chacham, but he gets into this routine, he gets used to, Talmud Chacham, Zav, Kesef, Cheres. He's like a ray, he's nothing. So says Rav Yashiv, Kachlu b'dvarim shel kedusha. That is the way it works with dvarim shel kedusha. And this is, I'm just going to tell a story quickly. When it comes to dvarim shel kedusha, so often in the beginning, a person is so taken by them, a person is so enamored by dvarim shel kedusha, and then he gets a little bit more into the routine, he gets a little bit more familiar, a little bit more accustomed, and the effect starts to wear off. And as a personal story, I remember when I came to Eretz Yisrael Shana Aleph, before I came to Eretz Yisrael, I was so taken by, you know, I was makbet to daven every day, and I also was when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I never missed a shachar's minion during yeshiva, but, that I remember, but before we go to yeshiva, like we find time to learn. We're in high school, like a high school kid. He finds time to learn, and he goes to minyanim, and it's such a gevaldik thing. And he's excited by learning. And sometimes we find that we get to yeshiva, we come to Eretz Yisrael, and we find that we're here waiting, doing what we've been waiting to do for so long. We have yeshiva right in front of us with all the minyanim and all the Talmud Torah, and we find that all the excitement wears off. We find that the magic of it that I was so used to feeling and that was so inspirational and so motivational for me up until now, all of a sudden seems to not be there anymore. And the question is, why not? Where'd it go? And the answer is that and this is not a bad thing. This is not a bad thing at all. I'll explain why not in a second. But when a person becomes accustomed to something, so the glamour starts to wear off. And a mashal lema davar doma, and this is where we can appreciate the beauty of this. Mashal lema davar doma. A person starts going out with a girl. So he starts dating her, and they go out for a few times, and they talk on the phone, and nowadays they'll text, and they'll BBM, and like, you know, he's so excited, this is such a, you know, he's mamish taken by this girl, he can't think about anything else. He has a crush on her, and she feels the same way, and it's so exciting. And they're really, and he feels like, and then they're ready to get engaged, and he feels like he knows her so well, and he can't imagine what it was like, how did he live before he met her? And then they get engaged. And he starts spending Shabbos at her house, and she spends Shabbos at his house, and the relationship becomes even more close. And he looks back at the time when he was dating, and he's like, I thought I knew her then, but now we're even closer. Now, you know, what it was then was like nothing compared to what it is now. And then after they get engaged, they get married, and he realizes that the relationship of marriage is like a totally different level. You can't even compare the relationship of marriage to the relationship of engagement. And it's a totally new world, and it's so exciting, especially Shevet Bracha is such an exciting wedding, and Shevet Bracha is such an exciting time. And then you have Shana Rishona, where there's still that excitement, and then after Shana Rishona, you start to live, there's a routine. A married couple falls into routine, and you live day in and day out, all the little things and all the big things. And not every day is a wedding when you're married. Every day is a regular day, and then you have the milestones of life, the weddings, and the bar mitzvahs, and the engagement. You have all the things, the children. But the deepest part of the relationship is not developed when they're dating, and it's not developed when they're engaged, and it's not developed, the deepest relationship between a husband and wife are not developed at the wedding, and they're not developed during Shabbat brachos. The deepest part of the relationship is developed over the course of the years. And I only know this myself from a very little bit of experience. But I've heard from people who have a lot of experience, the deepest part, and you can see it even from the little bit, the relationship grows deeper and deeper as you live a life together of day in, day out. Meaning the glamour, the crush, the what do they call it, the romance, so to speak, like the, you know, the fireworks, those fireworks are necessary to get everything started, but it's also necessary for them to wear off so that you can dig deeper and make something more meaningful out of the relationship. And everybody says, that's exactly what it is with Dvarim Shebikdusha. You can go into Beis HaMikdash and it's this phenomenal thing, and you're so taken by, you're overwhelmed by everything that's going on around you, but that feeling wears off with the hergel, that feeling wears off because you get used to it, you get accustomed to it, but at the same time, you know, eventually through that you can dig deeper and to come to a much more meaningful experience. Now, I know that we're finished, but I have to say the last word. I have to say the last word. That's one last word. One last word, and this is it. Perek Hei Pasuk Yud Aleph. The Torah says like this. V'im lo tasig yado l'shnei torim l'shnei bnei yona v'hevi es korbano asher chata asiri sa'efa solis l'chatas lo yasem aleya shemen v'lo yiten aleya levona ki chatas hi. Rabbosai, there's something called a korban chatas, which is an ole v'yored. The ole v'yored is something that if you're a rich person, you have to bring a very expensive animal as a korban. If you're a poor person, so you bring a dove or a bird, I forgot exactly what it was over here, turtle dove, pigeon, which is the korban of the dal, the ani. And then you have a korban for the dalei dalos, somebody who's extremely poor, so he has to bring a korban, which is thus a meal offering. I mean, it's not even an animal at all. The Torah says, if you can afford it, you bring something very expensive. If you can't afford it, you bring something less. And if you're mamish poor, then something even less. Different levels for different people. So the Chafetz Chaim points out so beautifully. If you're a wealthy person, and you bring the korban asiri sa'efa, you bring the meal offering as a korban chatas to atone for your sin, not only have you not atoned for your sin, but you've done an avera of bringing chulin to the Beis HaMikdash. That for you is not a korban, says the Chafetz Chaim. And Derech Agav, in parentheses, I don't really talk about this so much, but the Chafetz Chaim says the same thing. Nowadays, we don't have korbanos, so what do we do? I mean, korbanos, when I give him my property for a mitzvah, so what's the giving of our property, the mitzvah, so to speak, quote-unquote, that replaces korbanos today? Tzedakah. So says the Chafetz Chaim, if a person has a chiv of tzedakah, so a poor person, he could be mekayim in the fullest way his mitzvah of tzedakah by giving a dollar to tzedakah, if that's what he can afford. And you have a rich person, and if he gives a dollar to tzedakah, not only will he not be mekayim his mitzvah of tzedakah, but it's almost like an insult to the mitzvah. If you're a wealthy person, so you are not mekayim your mitzvah if you're not giving what you can afford. Like we said earlier, the other shirim, lefum gam l'shichna, that a person has a responsibility, a person has a chiyuv, to carry the burden that he's able to carry. That's just in parentheses. Now I saw a rosai. So the Chafetz Chaim says, if a wealthy person brings the korban of a poor person, he's not yotze. I saw in the Sefer from Rav Shimon Schwab, in the Mayan Bisa Shoeva, Rav Shimon Schwab points out that the Sefer Achinuch writes that not only, like the Chafetz Chaim said, if a wealthy person brings the korban of a poor person, he's not yotze, but if a poor person brings the korban of a wealthy person, says the Sefer Achinuch, he's also not yotze. If a poor person brings the korban of a wealthy person, he's also not yotze. Because Hashem was merciful upon him, Hashem exempted him from having to stretch himself so thin to bring an expensive korban, and he has no right to push himself beyond that. If a poor person brings the korban of a wealthy person, the Sefer Achinuch says he's not yotze. Now, Rosai, the Mishnah Melech, I don't want to take questions because we're out of time. We can talk about it after. The Mishnah Melech, Rosh Hashanah quotes all this. The Mishnah Melech asks a kasha. That the Gemara, there's a Mishnah in Nega'im, I believe. Mishnah in Nega'im says explicitly, and the Rambam paskins that way, that a poor person who brings the korban of a wealthy person, he is yotze. And it's mehudar, it's a harezah meshubach. He did a very great thing. He stretched himself beyond what he had to do. So it sounds like the Sefer Achinuch is explicitly against the Mishnah Nega'im, against the way the Rambam paskins. How do we understand that? The Sefer Achinuch cannot argue on a Mishnah. So Rav Shimon Schwab wants to give one answer. He says, could be not. Rabbi, I want to offer a different answer, and I'm not convinced that this is true. The yisod that I'm about to tell you is for sure true, and it could be that it's also MS Pshat over here, but I'm not sure yet. Rav Shimon Schwab says you have to make a distinction between different types of korbanos chatas. There's one korban like the olav yored that we have over here. If you do certain sins, you have to bring a korban olav yored. And then there's a different type of korban, like a korban that a yoledes has to bring, a woman who gave birth to a child, or the korban of a mitzora, a person who has taraz, after he finishes the whole process of becoming Torah, at the end he has to bring a korban. Those are two different categories. On the one hand, we have a korban of a yoledes and a taraz. And on the other hand, we have a korban of a chet. And it could be perhaps, that the Sefer Achinuch would say, when don't you have the right to be mahader in a korban? You don't have the right to bring a bigger korban when we're talking about a korban for a chet. When you're talking about a korban that you're bringing because you're doing tshuva, and the korban is part of the tshuva process, so you don't have a right to bring a bigger korban than you can afford. But if the korban that you're bringing is stam, it's a mitzvah. A yoledes has a mitzvah to bring a korban. A mitzora has a mitzvah to bring a korban. So if it's a mitzvah, so you have a right to be mahadar in the mitzvah. But you don't have a right to be mahadar in a korban that you're bringing for tshuva. Why not? And both say the answer is, like, this is an emes yitzvah. Now, it could be you say the mitzvah is also part of the tshuva, the mitzvah is also for kapara, the oled is also for kapara, it sounds like that from different chazals. It could be you can learn those chazals differently. It's not for now, we don't have time to get into it. But both said the yitzvah is like this. When it comes to a person who's doing tshuva, so you have to do the tshuva that you're obligated to do, and you cannot push yourself further. If a person is doing tshuva, and he has charata, and he has azivas achet, and he has vidu, and he has kabbalah asid, like he has to have, those are all the parts of tshuva, the Rambam says. So when a person has his charata, he regrets, I wish I never did that avira. So you have to have that charata. But if a person beats himself up over the avira that he did, so if you beat yourself up too hard over the avira that you did, you will become a dysfunctional person. The tshuva will become inhibiting. It will inhibit you from continuing to grow. So if a person is doing tshuva, he's destroying himself, he's so down on himself because of the way he's handling his tshuva, that's going to be counterproductive. So when it comes to doing tshuva, the korban that you bring cannot be beyond your means. The tshuva that you do has to be a tshuva that's within your means. Don't beat yourself up too much, only beat yourself up as much as is necessary for the tshuva, and not more, because if you do more, you're going to become counterproductive. When it comes to mitzvahs, when it comes to other korbanos, so those korbanos can be brought, you know, with hidurim. Mitzvah mina mufkar, to bring a korban beyond my means. But those are not korbanos for tshuva, perhaps. And even if it's not true in the pshat here, although it might be, it's definitely a true yisod. When a person is doing tshuva, so he can't beat himself. There's no such thing as I'll be mahadir in tshuva. Now there is maybe for certain people, but in general, I'm not going to be mahadir in tshuva so much so that I'm so destroyed over my mitzvah that I become unable to continue on in the tshuva process, to continue on in the growth process. Okay, Rabosa, have a great Shabbos.